Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You know, a little bit of that first game, but I thought once we got going, the second period, we had our chances. We just didn't convert.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff following last night's 8-4 win over the Ottawa Senators at KeyBank Center, Buffalo's first win of the season. And after an opening three games where the Sabres really found they struggled for finding ways to score goals, they managed to burst out with eight goals and a win. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton filling in today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Paul, this opening three stretch of games, eerily similar, I would say, to last year's opening stretch of three games, where last year they scored only three goals in the first three games. Of course, the first two games were over in Czechia for the international portion of the NHL schedule last year. Then they come home and they lose to the Kings. Three goals for, they gave up 10 goals against, and then the game that bounced back was against, of all teams, the Florida Panthers last year, who were the defending Stanley Cup champions, a 5-2 win. And this year, they only scored two goals in the opening three games, and then they bounce back with eight goals against the Ottawa Senators. And of course, the next game they'll play is Saturday against Florida. I mean, how, in your mind, Paul, I mean, how do the Sabres avoid trying to have a start like they did last year? Because they did get that win against Florida, but then they lost in overtime where they blew a lead against Pittsburgh. Then they lost to Columbus in an ugly loss. And then they bounced back with three wins, but then started this stretch of like three wins, three losses, three wins, three losses, and then their 13-game winless streak. How do they avoid that this time around?
I think it's pretty easy. Play like you did the last 40 minutes of yesterday's game. I mean, it wasn't perfect. I mean, you made a couple of mistakes and they wound up in your net, but that kind of intensity, that kind of drive, that kind of, we're going to go to the battle, we're going to win the battle. You know, first three games, they weren't even necessarily in the battle. I mean, and you know, be around the net, make it difficult on the goaltender. You know, if the goaltender moves to his left and you're standing there and he runs into you, that's his fault. It's not yours. You know, as long as you're there, and you know, take his eyes away. Be there. Be there for tips. All the little things that win hockey games, and you know, it's you play that way, you always have a chance to win. I mean, stop and think. The first three games, as poorly as they played, especially in Boston, they could have won all three games. They were only a goal down. I mean, in Boston, they didn't go up two goals till 3 seconds were left in the game.
Right.
You know, when they got the empty netter. So as poorly as they played in Boston, they pulled their goaltender only down 2-1. You know, and if something goes in, you know, you get a bounce or something goofy goes in, you're in line to get a win. You know, you take it to overtime, and who knows what can happen. In a game there, you had no business being even in the game. The Ranger game was basically a 1-0 game for most of the game. And the Colorado game, it was basically a one-goal game for a lot of it. So as poorly as they played, they were right in those hockey games.
Yeah.
Because in some of those games, they played pretty well defensively. And they don't even have the guy that was going to help them play better defensively in Kesselring. So, you know, that was something. But if you play the right way, the way you're supposed to, with speed and tenacity and willing to win battles and willing to block shots and willing to go to the net, willing to do the things necessary to win a hockey game, you are in line to be able to win any hockey game. Yes, you are going to run into some hot goaltenders. There's no question about that.
For sure.
But stop it. I mean, really, Brian and I were talking about this yesterday on the air. They wasted three really good goaltending games. You know what?
Yeah.
If you get goaltending like they got for those three games, you should be 3-0, or at worst 2-0-1. Lyon came in with a .919 save percentage.
Yeah.
In three games.
Alex Lyon has been a very nice addition for the Sabres, especially
yes.
with their goaltending problems in the area.
So when you get that type of goaltending, you should be winning. You should be picking up points, and you should be winning hockey games. What have I been saying all summer long? When somebody asks me, well, how are do you think the Sabres are going to do? My first thing out of my mouth is, tell me about the goaltending. Tell me if Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen of 2 years ago shows up, or tell me if last year shows up.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you if they're going to do better or not.
Yeah, and
I always went to that.
Yeah, and at this
point, they got good goaltending in the first three games, and it didn't work.
At this point, Paul, I know that Luukkonen came back to practice, and you still have Colton Ellis, who's waiting to get his first NHL action with the Sabres, or just period at the NHL level, getting his first game. But at this point, why not just ride Lyon as long as you can without him, you know, putting himself at risk of getting injured or anything like that? If he's good to go, he's feeling good, you let it ride as long as you can. And then you kind of see what happens, because right now it seems like Alex Lyon is at least a more stable option in net than we've seen from Luukkonen, or, you know, because we just don't know anything about Colton Ellis really at an NHL standpoint. We know he's a fairly decent AHL goaltender. He had some stats that were better than Devon Levi last year, and then others that obviously Devon Levi was better at, but... it's certainly interesting with the goaltending situation moving forward, just because Colton Ellis, probably at this point, he goes back to waivers. And I mean, I'd assume the Blues would be interested in reclaiming him on waivers if, you know, Luukkonen is healthy enough to come back and actually stay in the lineup too. That's the biggest thing with Luukkonen, is can he be healthy enough to stay in the lineup, given the fact that, you know, he was injured before training camp, comes back, practices, and plays one period of play, and then re-injures himself with something else. And we've seen this all before with injuries in net and problems like this, where it starts early and snowballs and continues to find ways to somehow get worse. If they could find that consistency in net, Paul, I think that's sort of their key to help stabilize everything else that might be affecting their game or wrong with their game, where they're not going to be the best team, but at least they'll be able to win a couple more games than they normally would in years past.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but I don't think it's a slam dunk that Ellis goes on waivers to Rochester, because when they claimed him, Lindy Ruff said, we've been looking at him for a while,
mm-hmm.
and we just felt it was an opportunity that we could not pass up. So if they feel that way about him, they feel very strongly about him, I think they go with three goaltenders.
Okay. All
which
right.
is not ideal.
No.
I mean, but
no.
But yeah, you're right. They could put him on waivers and but just I'm going by what Lindy Ruff said.
Yeah.
They've been on the radar and he came available and they felt they just couldn't pass up on it. Now don't you think, had the Sabres not been 0-3, he would have played last night? I think that would have been his game.
Yes, I think you have a point there. It'll be interesting to see what they do Saturday. I know, and like I said before, I think you ride Lyon as long as you can, as long as he's feeling good and as long as he's comfortable.
Yeah, you got 2 days in between games, so
right.
putting Lyon back in is...
Yeah.
I mean, you easily can play Lyon to Toronto.
And, yeah.
And then... But then the question is, do you want to put a kid in for his first NHL game in Toronto?
I mean, right, in Toronto, or even then. The schedule coming up, you have obviously Florida coming up on Saturday, a 1 o'clock faceoff. Then you have Montreal in Montreal on Monday. Then
that might be a place right there.
You could do that. Home against Detroit on the 22nd, next Wednesday, and then your home-and-home series with the Leafs.
And if I'm Lindy Ruff, I'm going to let Lyon play against the Red Wings. You know, that's where he came from.
Yep.
So I think as you were running it off, I think the Montreal game is it.
Yeah, and honestly, Paul, the goal scoring finally coming alive yesterday was a nice sight to see. But, you know, obviously with the whole point of the Twitter poll, just, you know, it's now about building on that and finding ways to consistently find the back of the net, because we saw in the first three games, trying to find the back of the net was a struggle. That game against New York, they did not get any really high quality danger chances to score against Shesterkin. It literally took a bounce off of a Bruins defenseman to score your first goal of the season in Boston. And then in the game against Colorado, Tage Thompson takes a long distance shot that happens to find its way through a couple bodies and past Scott Wedgwood. And it was a really big question, I think, heading into this game, was how could they find a way to, even against an Ottawa team that's dealing with injuries to the likes of Brady Tkachuk, your best player on your roster, your captain, to score goals. And I know they were facing a backup goaltender, Marilainen, yesterday, but Marilainen put up some decent stats last year as a backup, and he was a relatively reliable piece in Ottawa's goaltending system, where he was helpful in them finding a way to make their push and get into the playoffs.
You mentioned Tage Thompson. Who would have thought that the Sabres would score eight goals at any point and he not have any of them and play the whole game?
Yeah.
He almost had an empty net, but nobody could get the empty net look.
Yeah.
Ottawa kept jumping in front of the shooter. It was like three different shooters couldn't get the look. Tage Thompson was one of them. Now, I give them credit for not just putting the puck into somebody's pads. They kept possession of it until they could finally get somebody who could maybe hit the empty net, and it was Kulik who finally wound up with it.
Right.
And maybe that'll help that kid, because he wasn't good last night. I mean, I think he was minus two. He didn't show a good response to the, you know, being so-called benched in practice, going on a line with Gertsen and Greenway. But maybe just seeing the puck going into the net, even though it's an empty netter, might get him going.
You find the weirdest of ways to find the back of the net, and all of a sudden it takes off for you. Which brings me, Paul, to another player who had two goals last night. I mean, there were a couple of different players that had a two-goal effort, three of them, actually. Jack Quinn. He's been so interesting over the last couple of years. I know that before he suffered that Achilles injury, there was a lot of promise behind him, and there was a lot of optimism that he could continue to build upon the successes. He has the injury, and that seemed to set him back quite a bit. And not only with that, but the lack of production on the score sheet and everything else that was going wrong for him, I think he lost a ton of confidence in his game. What could a performance like yesterday do for a guy like him, where he scores that fluky goal on the power play to start, and then he scores a really nice goal in the third period to really put the game out of reach for Ottawa? I mean, do you see Jack Quinn as potentially a player that can use this sort of performance and use that as sort of a jumping point to get to where he was before that Achilles injury?
Maybe, because he was invisible in the first three games, but having a game like that, and you can...
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
See the talent that's there. Look, I mean, the second goal where the just the real nice deke, you know, gets in quick deke. Yeah, you got a wide open net to put the puck in. I was convinced after I saw him in Rochester how well he was doing that he would be a 30-goal scorer every year in the National Hockey League with the shot he has and the offensive ability. And then in his really good year there, the playoffs hit. And Krebs was down there, and Peterka was down there, and he was down there. And that's when they went on that run. And everybody that I mentioned did well except him. He never scored a goal. And it was because the opponent, I want to say it was Belleville, but I'm not absolutely positive. It was a team with a lot of big guys who decided that, all right, I'm 29 years old and I weigh 280 pounds and I have no ability, so I'm just going to pound on Jack Quinn every time I see him. And the referees let them do it. So he just went away. I mean, he couldn't handle that kind of abuse and that kind of physical play. And he didn't score a goal the whole playoffs. It was kind of funny. Peterka was the other way. It's like, go ahead and hit me. I don't care. You know what? Why don't you take a run at me? I'll just duck, and then I'll go down and score a goal. How would that be? You know, that's kind of the way he handled it. Jack Quinn handled it totally differently. So I thought, well, I don't know. Maybe there are some problems here. And it's, you know, really, you look at it, he had those two big injuries and only played 27 games that year for the Sabres, but he scored 9 goals. That's almost 30 goals in an 82-game season. So when he did play, he scored. But, you know, it's just last year was just kind of a lost year for him, and Kevin Adams talked about what a great summer he has. Lindy Ruff talked about he got a picture of him working on a weights, and he had, was lifting, I don't even remember the amount, but it was a lot. And, you know, just what a great summer he had. But the first 3 games, it hadn't translated into anything until this game. And, again, I said about Kulik, well, maybe the empty net goal gets him going. Well, maybe shooting a puck off the back glass and having it come back and hit the back of the goaltender and going in will get him going.
Yep.
Because he scored another goal later and, you know, was a key contributor to the team. So maybe that's what he needed, was just a break.
Yeah.
You know, a break went his way, and then he felt good, and he's ready to play hockey.
Paul Hamilton, Brayton Wilson here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Philly, and today and tomorrow. Today's show, obviously brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Twitter poll today is, with the Sabres obviously finding their scoring touch, are we ready to hop back on the Sabres bandwagon? And did the 8-4 win over the Senators instill any confidence that a turnaround is coming in Buffalo? Your options are, we are so back, baby, or still need to see more from the team, or no, we're all doomed. And right now, more than 53% of people are still in the middle there saying we need to see more. 33% almost are saying, nope, we're doomed. And then the optimistic people, nearly 14% of them are saying we're absolutely back. Yeah, Paul, I think I need to see more from where this team's going here in the coming games. I really want to see how they perform against the Florida team that they're winning despite not having their best players on the ice. Matthew Tkachuk is obviously going to miss some time. The hope, I think, is to have him back at least just before the Olympics. I mean, they lost Alexander Barkov for the entire season, which is unfortunate, with a knee injury, torn ACL, and other ligaments in his knee. And last night they played against Detroit and lost 4-1. I mean, if they can come out and at least keep up with Florida, I don't know if Florida's going to start Bobrovsky or if they're going to go to Daniil Tarasov in goal. I'm just looking forward to seeing how the Sabres can jump out against this Panthers team, a 2-time defending Stanley Cup winner. They won their first 3 games. Now they've lost their last 2. How they'll be able to build on this performance against a much better team than they are and try to get themselves in a position where all of a sudden, hey, if you win, you're now 2-3, and you're back in the discussion of, okay, maybe things aren't lost for the season.
Yeah, and that's if you go back and play like you did against Boston, then this game meant nothing,
right?
Really. other than it got you off a three-game losing streak. But you have to build on what you did, and you're going to play a much better team even without the players you discussed. But they're still a very good team. And, but if they proved it last year, their only win in the first six games was against the Florida Panthers, and it was 5-2.
Yeah.
You know, so, if you play the way you're supposed to, you can win on any night. I'm not saying they're a Stanley Cup contender at any point, but if they're going to get the goaltending they got from Lyon and they play like they did last night for the last 40 minutes, they can make the playoffs. There's no question in my mind they could. And that's without Norris. And Norris, it sounds like it will be back. It might not be for a while. It might be a couple of months. But it sounds like you're still going to get him. So, all right, where are you going to be in the standings? Are you going to be where you've been for most of the last 14 years? Not every year, but most of them, and out of it by Thanksgiving or Christmas? Or are you going to still be in the middle of things when your quote, best center comes back? And you add that to the lineup. So, but you got to stay close. You got to stay in the hunt. You can't do what you've done in the past and be out of it by the holidays. And because he won't be back before the holidays, really.
Right.
So, well, 2 months maybe. If the whole month of October, November, yeah, he could be back before Christmas. I don't know. We'll see. But that's about the time that he'd be back, and that's about the time the Sabres are usually eliminating themselves.
Yeah, I mean, oh, man, just stay – like, it was so weird 2 years ago, Paul, because I think a big key reason why it was maybe looking a little more optimistic was the fact that despite missing out on the playoffs by 1 point under Don Granato, the next season the Sabres didn't have anything worse than a four-game losing streak. And that only happened once over the course of the year. But the problem is that they were so streaky where they'd win two, then lose three. They'd come back and win one, lose three straight. Win three straight, lose three straight. It was just that consistent nature of those games that ultimately led to Don Granato getting fired. And honestly, last year, if they had almost done similar to that under Lindy Ruff, I think you could have made an argument that even though they were that streaky, potentially, they were still in line to potentially compete for a playoff spot. And
well, stop and think about it. The games before the 13-game winless streak.
Right.
I like to call it a losing streak, but it's
I know it
a
is a losing streak. It's a losing streak.
Yeah, they lost 13 games.
Poo-poo your NHL, whatever.
Three of them were loser points, but still.
Yeah.
If you take the games before that, if you played like that the whole season, you're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the games after that and play that way the whole season, you're in the playoffs. So they basically were a playoff team for all but 13 games last year. 13 games blew their season up.
Yep.
For 69 other games, they were a playoff team. But it wasn't enough because you were so bad in those 13 games that you couldn't recover from it.
I know you've said this before, and I wholeheartedly agree, and I'll make this point again, Paul. It seemed like in those 13 games, a lot of the players were just they were searching for answers. They didn't have anything, so they were just hoping, hey.
They were waiting for Kevin Adams to do something.
Wait
you
for
could
something
tell.
To happen.
Yeah.
And it was never going to happen. It was just never going to form with any sort of move coming from the front office or from the team saying, hey, we're going to do something to help you guys out, even if it's just a call-up from Rochester, somebody who's playing better. Get them in the lineup, see what they could do. They maybe didn't have the roster space, though, to be able to do something like that. But, I mean, it's sending a message. It's sending something where it's like, hey, player X, player Y, not good enough. It's time to give a look to someone who in the minors is playing up to par, playing up to speed, producing at the lower level. But let's see what they got at the NHL level. And it never came. It was just throw the same product on the ice. And it was just, you guys got to snap out of it. And the mindset of that team after, especially that loss to Colorado, and I think the loss to Utah, I can't remember if it was just after the Colorado game or just before the Colorado game. They had those two games against Colorado and Utah where they just looked demoralized. And it was on that stretch there where afterwards it was like, oh, this isn't going to go well for a while now. They are not doing anything that's going to give you hope that they could snap out of this and win.
Exactly. And there's so many you look at so many years where the COVID year, they're in Montreal waiting for a game on Wednesday, and the NBA player gets COVID, and
yep.
NBA, and then next thing you know, don't
everything
go to the morning skate
down
on Thursday, and then pack up, we're leaving, and at noon. Had the Sabres played the Montreal Canadiens and won, they would have been in the COVID playoffs. They would have made the COVID playoffs. They just would have had to play that game and win it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Florida game, the second last week of the season, Alex Lyon against Levi.
Yep.
Alex Lyon makes 40 saves, 2-1 Florida win. If it's a 2-1 Buffalo win, Buffalo gets in the playoffs and Florida doesn't. And don't forget, Florida made the Stanley Cup Finals that year. So there were just two golden opportunities for the Sabres to at least have this streak over with.
Yeah.
So you're not you don't have that hanging over your head. But you know, they just, for whatever, couldn't get it done.
803-0551, 888-552-550. Are you back on the Sabres bandwagon after last night's win over the Senators, or do you need to see a little bit more? Are you that just the pessimist of just like, nope, this isn't going to get any better anytime soon? Feel free to join us, 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. Also, vote in the Twitter poll at Brayton J. Wilson on Twitter. You'll find it there. You'll find it retweeted on our station account at WGR 550. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton, filling in for you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got a couple more segments left for you on this Thursday morning before we throw things over to a radio-only version of Sabres Live coming up for you right at the top of the hour here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.